Hey, my name is Eric, and you're listening to Viral Positivity, a podcast providing community-sourced updates, advice, and encouragement during these uncertain times.
My name is Robbie. I'm from California, and I've been working in China for the past 3 years. I work for an international school. I teach digital media and journalism. You know, I first read about the disease in January, but at that time, you know, the WHO and the Chinese government were saying that the disease wasn't transferable human to human. They're kind of downplaying it a lot. You know, nobody really took it too seriously. And then eventually they locked down Hubei province sometime around November. There were kind of like 2 months where there just wasn't much being done. And there were doctors that were silenced and told not to talk about it. People didn't really take it too seriously at first. You know, we had vacations for Chinese New Year planned. You know, everybody was just on vacation. I had a vacation in Hong Kong. People started masking up there and they stopped going out as much, but, you know, things were still open. When I came back to Shanghai, the city was dead. People were freaked out. Apparently people had been self-isolating for a couple weeks already. The city was a ghost town, which is very strange because it's a city of 25 million people, and to see nobody on the streets was just odd. I was feeling very uneasy there. And you started seeing a lot of kind of scary looking footage from Wuhan, you know, footage of people just like falling dead on the streets, people in hazmat gear, forcibly taking people out of their apartments and putting them in headlocks, throwing them in vans, taking them away. It was a real kind of scary situation. And we just decided to leave. So you know, we left for Thailand. We went to Phuket. It was really easy to get over there. And they take your temperature. They have this little kind of gun that they point to your forehead. And then you just mark off whether you've had any kind of symptoms or not. And it was very easy to leave China. I did worry a little bit about maybe xenophobia, if people thought that my girlfriend was Chinese because she's Korean. We did notice in Thailand, though, like if there were mainland Chinese families, the waiters would kind of like look a little bit worried and stand farther away from their tables. But I didn't see any, you know, any violence or anything like that. I spent a couple weeks in Koh Lanta, which is just, it's this kind of like a little island. It's not very developed and felt pretty safe there. The disease hadn't gone there yet. So kind of enjoyed ourselves on the beach. Eventually we decided that we would go to Korea because it's where my girlfriend's from. I told her, you know, Korea is kind of a bad idea because this disease is going to make it over there. So I talked her into spending a week in Bangkok. So we stayed in Bangkok first. And then all of a sudden, Korea just had an explosion of cases. And it got really, really serious there. So we never went to Korea. We lost the tickets there. I've been in Bangkok ever since, you know. My girlfriend left a couple weeks ago to Shanghai. She wasn't sure about what the situation was going to be like. It's supposed to be taken care of. They're pretty draconian with the measures that they have. They're testing a lot. I think they're handling the situation a lot better now than they did in the beginning, and definitely a lot better than the administration in the United States is. She did get pulled aside, especially because I think because she's Korean and because the caseload in Korea was getting a lot more serious. But she made it back and she's finishing up her quarantine today. It's been like 5 weeks, about 5 or 6 weeks that I've been doing e-learning. So I teach classes online. So for digital media, I create, you know, kind of tutorials for graphic design software. I send those out. And then for journalism, we have different types of assignments that I do. Been on the road for like about seven weeks now. I was just thinking, okay, where can I go? I could go to the US or I could just wait it out here and see what the situation looks like. And it looks like in the US, the situation is degrading. They're not testing enough people. People are hoarding toilet paper and groceries. I have no health insurance in America. So if I were to get sick there, or something were to happen to me there, I could be financially damaged. China seems like it's a safer place for me to be. I've got health insurance there. I've been trying to avoid quarantine. So that's one of the reasons why I went to Southeast Asia, because I saw Wuhan go into lockdown. Other provinces started going into lockdown. I've avoided lockdown so far, although Bangkok just started yesterday. I just got my ticket to go back to Shanghai on Sunday, but it's getting a little bit scary because they're quarantining people forcibly. Worst case scenario, it's going to be a government facility. I'm not looking forward to that at all. Best case scenario is I'll just be quarantined in my own home. And in China, when they do that, they have a person that works from the community that will take your trash. They'll bring your mail to you. They'll bring up your food to you. Pretty well organized with all of that. I haven't heard of any serious problems in Shanghai. Maybe in other provinces, I can't speak for them. So I just plan on keeping busy by working, which is what I've been doing this whole time. I've been teaching on the internet. Yeah, I'm a record collector. I'm a DJ. So I've got a lot of records. I'm a musician. I could write music. You know, there's plenty of stuff for me to do. So I'm not really too worried about being at home. I just think it's important to have a schedule though, because I'm the kind of person who doesn't really follow schedules. I fall asleep whenever I want to, wake up whenever I want to. And I think in quarantine, that's definitely not going to work out. So I plan on making a schedule and sticking to it. They had so much time in the US to prepare for this. I've been telling people for, since January to look out for this. It's frustrating because my cousin works for the Coast Guard and was involved in that Grand Princess cruise ship mission that's outside of Oakland. You know, they've got the cruise ship with people that have the coronavirus there. And he said that people that were wearing hazmat suits in the Navy and the Coast Guard have actually been getting infected from the virus. They weren't properly prepared for it. And he developed flu symptoms. And he's been waiting for his test to come in for almost 4 days now. It's really worrying for me because, you know, my cousin, he's really sick. And he also was around my mom last Wednesday. So, you know, she could potentially have been exposed to the virus, but she can't get tested for it. So it's really, really frustrating. In Korea, they have drive-through tests that I think they could test you. They give you your results within 2 hours. In China, they've been doing a lot of forced testing. So now when you come in, when you fly in, if they'll take random people out of the plane, they'll test them, and everybody has to wait for them to finish their tests. And then they take people out in sections. And if you were around any of the people that were tested positive, then they'll test you. And it could take, you know, like up to 10 to 12 hours to get out of the airport. I hadn't really been scared of the virus, you know, and I didn't really leave because I was worried about the virus. I was worried about society breaking down. I was worried about being a minority in, you know, in a country that could potentially turn against me. And so I think it's really important that we don't put the blame for this virus on you know, people from specific countries. You know, in America, I've heard of attacks against Asians. And in China, there's this kind of narrative being pushed out that the virus was started by the U.S. government and was covered up in America and then spread to China. So, you know, I worry about xenophobia and nationalism. It's rising over there. It's rising around the world. I would hope people don't resort to letting, you know, the hate kind of take over, blaming people, shifting the blame on people that just didn't do anything to deserve that. What we should be doing, you know, for the next, I think, at least 6 months to years, we should be living as if we have this virus. You could have no symptoms whatsoever, and you could spread this to other people and potentially somebody could catch this virus from you and they could die. So I think we just need to act as if we have the virus for the next 6 months to the next year. We have to get ready for a different way of living